Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Valerie Welch Ministries. I am delighted that you decided to stop by here tonight. God has a word. God has a word. Amen. Well, you know how we do it. Let's first go to the throne of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that has gone before us. Lord, we thank you right now that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, we thank you, Father God, for every listening ear tonight. We thank you, Father God, for whether it's live or whether they download it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for the spirit of truth. We thank you, Father God, for deliverance. We thank you, Father God, for a renewed mind. And we thank you, Father God, for your word that sustains us. Lord God, we cancel and bind every distraction, every hindrance tonight. Father, we thank you that your word says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, you have a word tonight. And I thank you, Father God, for allowing me to be a vessel to minister it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that it sets someone free, that it refreshes someone, that it revitalizes someone, Father God, that it delivers them from a bondage mindset, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And we bless God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, if you're joining me, if you have not seen it already, tonight's message is entitled Men of Valor. Men of Valor. The scripture reference will come from Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. And I will be reading tonight from the NIV version. And it reads as thus. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. I will wait until you return. My brothers and sisters, in preparation for Father's Day, I've heard throughout the years many men say that they are not as celebrated on their day as much as women are on Mother's Day. When Father's Day comes, they say it's barely noticed. It's like a drop in the bucket. Some men say that it's going to be one of the loneliest holidays that they ever experience. Every Father's Day, it feels like someone has stabbed them in the heart. And to inflict even more punishment against them, society has specifically and particularly used some of us against them. Yes, the woman. Yes, the black woman. You, my dear brother, are largely ignored, not respected by your wife or significant other and even your children. I heard a senator say today regarding the massacre in Charleston, which killed 6 black men and 3 women, where can we go to be black? Now, I understand that I have a diverse audience, and I know that everyone on the line is not of the black or African-American descent, but the Lord specifically told me tonight to talk to the black men. But hang in there, because when we get to the end of it, all brothers, all men are going to be included. But I have a specific message tonight for the African-American man, or black man, if you will. Now, when I say, my dear brother, you are largely ignored, not respected by your wife or your significant other and even your children, what I'm really trying to say is society or the world ignores you. And sometimes, even in our ignorance, Satan is sometimes having his way with you for us as women. So though the message tonight isn't about the woman, I'm talking to you tonight of how the enemy has set up and strategically caused you to feel second place, second class, second rate, and outright ignored. Hang with me because I'm going somewhere with this. This is probably some of your sentiment, those of you that are listening to me out there. Where can we go to be genuinely celebrated for just being us? Stay with me, my brothers. Well, what we can expect from the world, what can we expect from the world, a society that is more concerned with money and status than it is with honor and integrity? What do we expect, my brothers and sisters, from a world which relegates the man, particularly the black man, to a second-class citizen? He's not human. He's been hunted like an animal since slavery, cut off by design from discovering his true heritage and who he really is to God the Father. Now, all of us, I understand, all of the brothers have not missed who they are according to God, but some of us are wondering, well, I love God, but what is it with my life? What's going on with me? Why do I not seem to be able to get my head above water? What's going on with me? Well, I've stopped by to minister to you today, particularly, to tell you what your biggest mistake has been that has caused you to derail from the original perception God designed for you. This message tonight will tell you what you need to do to regain your self-respect, your self-esteem, and to walk in victory. First, let's deal with the fact that Satan has strategically designed to strip you of your identity. Yes, that boat ride over here that brought you from our land to America stripped us of our birth name and given our master our last name as a sign of ownership and a hand in it too. But I'm asking you to go deeper. I'm asking you to focus on the moment you turned away from your first love and became a world pleaser. God says in Revelations 2 and 4, go with me there to Revelations 2 and 4. And it says this, it says, but you walked away from your first love. Why? And I like to read it from the Message Bible. I had the NIV and I had the King James, but this would break it down even further for those that are unlearned. The Message Bible. But you walked away from your first love. Why? What's going on with you anyway? Do you have any idea how far you've fallen? A Lucifer fall. Turn back. Recover your dearly earned love. No time to waste, for I am well on my way to removing your light from the golden circle. First of all, you are being stripped of your identity. First of all, God created you first. Am I right about it? God created you first. That means from the foundation was supposed to be built on you. So what has happened, my brothers? What happens to the men of valor? What's going on in this society? What's going on in this world that has caused you to retreat, to step back, and to be fearful versus what God had predestined for you to be from the foundations of the earth? What's going on? I'm telling you what's going on. Some things are out of order. Now, anybody that knows me, I don't take sides. I don't take sides when it comes to women and when it comes to men. If a woman is wrong, if we're wrong, we're wrong. And what I'm going to say may offend some women. They may just say, well, what is she talking about? But God has dealt with me with this for a very long time. We are out of order when we attempt to usurp the authority that God has given that man in the household, my sisters and my brothers. Nowhere in the Bible did God tell us for us to be the head. He said the man was the head and we are the weaker vessel. So first of all, when I say that sometimes Satan is using us to strip our brothers and our men of his manhood, we are subtly being used. We think we're being strong. We think we're being powerful. saying, we say one thing. It said we need to build up the house. So you can't use the two tongues. You can't have a double tongue and say, well, I wish he would do this, but you go and snatch it from him. It's, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that a wise woman builds up her house. So what, we may be stronger. So what, we may be smart. Build that man up, my sisters that are on this line listening to me. It shouldn't be a day. They should be some of the most celebrated men on earth because God allowed them. God gave them that mantle. And we know, as spiritual ones, how the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, trying to have them being overlooked and have them invisible and ignored. We understand this, but don't allow the enemy to use us to castigate them. Don't allow the enemy to use us to make them feel less than. Let me give you an example. Let me break it down if you don't understand what I'm saying. First of all, how superficial is it for when we're looking at a man and we size up his character and everything else about him by what he's driving, by his house, by his shoes, by his bank account, by his hands and his feet? My sisters, have we lost our minds judging a man by the outside appearance when God says that's not even something that he's concerned with? I'm concerned about your inner man. That's what we need to be concerned with. Because guess what? You can lose the house one day. You can lose the car one day. But when you got a brother that can break down Zion with you, everything else can be restored. We've lost our way. God never told us to be concerned about those things. If we really believe the Lord our God, we would know that God is going to give us what we need. And he's going to bring our Boaz to us, what we need. So I don't know how I got off on that, because that wasn't in the notes, but I guess it needed to be said that we don't get to God is causing us to move and to shift. No longer are women going to be shallow. And I'm going to read you some history. I said that this was going to be a message that was going to make you cry. This is going to be a message that possibly makes you angry, but this message is going to restore and revitalize both men and women. Because we should be ashamed of ourselves of not honoring the men in our lives, not honoring our pastors, not honoring our brothers, not honoring our fathers in the way we should. I hear that every year, I kid you not, that men are overlooked. Men are overlooked. We've got to change that, my brothers and sisters. Those of us that know better, we have to change that mindset. We have to help restore what the enemy has sought to destroy. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have to help restore what the enemy has sought to destroy. Hallelujah. So to break it down even further, when God says, I hold this against you and you have forsaken the love that you had at first, to break it down even further, the Message Bible reads, let me go to that. I'm going to read it again. You walked away from your first love. Stop right there. For those of you that are unlearned, I'm just speaking to you that you don't understand. I know I have those out there that do understand. But when God is talking about your first love, he's not talking about your first girlfriend. No, this scripture is talking about the minute you became outward-centered and not upward-centered. When we became outward-centered and not upward-centered, that's when we begin to turn from our first love. Examples would be vain in looks, vain in getting as much money as you can, vain in getting a lot of women, vanity in your job. But where is your pride in me? Where is your pride in me like I am proud of you? Why did you turn away from me when the first opportunity came along for you to shine, for you to be front and center, for the focus to be on you? Why did you turn from your first love? Why? The design I had for you from the foundation of the earth was for my sons and daughters to have dominion. But you can't have dominion without me. Therefore, I have hid myself for a while, for the time you will return unto me. Anything that's been stripped from its source eventually dies. A flower with no water becomes brittle and dies. Grass without water is no longer green but turns brown. A man not connected with his source is angry all the time, doesn't have any peace because he's not connected to the God of peace. A man not connected to his source builds houses for someone else to live in. But a man not connected to his source, and a man not connected to his source chooses a mistress instead of his wife. A man not connected to his source will choose death instead of life in his ignorance of Satan's devices. My brother, my brother, my brother, the message tonight was to elevate you and to cause you to begin to think, to cause you to arise to a level in your thinking. Be not concerned. Be not concerned what's going on in this world. The Bible tells us that we're in the world, but we're not of it. And to rise above your problems, to rise above circumstances and situations in your life, you're going to have to know the word of God. Your physical strength cannot move that mountain, but prayer can. Your physical strength cannot raise your child from being sick to well, but prayer can. Your life is in shambles right now. You can't do anything about it, but prayer can. My brothers, my brothers, my brothers, I have a burden for the men of God. I have a burden because all of you out there are not the slackers that the media tries to portray you to be. No, you're not. You're hardworking men trying to take care of your families. You are men of valor, but guess what? You say nobody notices, but God wants you to know he notices. God notices how you're laboring, laying on your face. You may not have a dime one day, but you're laying on your face, believing God for the impossible, believing God for the supernatural, believing God for your relationship, believing God for your marriage, believing God for restoration of the things that the enemy was illegally taking from you. Rise up, my brothers, because you have a two-edged sword in your mouth. You are men of valor. When I heard that man say that today, when he was talking to the news reporter, he was a friend of the pastor of the church who was killed today. And he said, where can we go as black people? And he was referring to the church was our sanctuary. If there was nowhere else we could go to the church. He said, where can black people go now? Where can you go, oh man? Being persecuted on the job, being persecuted out here in the earth, persecuted sometimes in your home, misunderstood. Where do you go? You go to the rock. You go to your father. Get back connected to the source. Some things have dried up in your life because you disconnected from the source. Now, I'm not saying that everything that's going wrong is because of you've been bad or you've sinned. No, there are some things that happen because God is trying to usher us to another level. But what I'm trying to tell you, if you don't get anything else I say today, God doesn't consider you a second-class citizen, and he wants you to stop acting like it. In the name of Jesus, stop walking with your head bowed down because you don't have this and have that. When you have a father who is rich in houses and land and holds the entire world in his hands, what you say? In the name of Jesus, we even bind and cancel that mentality. God wants you to know him in his fullness. The very things that you focused on have been the very things that Satan has used to assassinate your character, to annihilate your integrity and weaken what God has made strong. Men of God, don't you know how much the Father loves you? Don't you understand why he made you first? That he would have a prototype just like him to build on? The foundation after he created heavens and earth started with you. Men of valor, men of God, I call you forth to rise up in this nation. For the Father has need of you. The Father has need of you. Yes, you've been made to feel a certain way. You've been beat down by family. family doesn't understand. They've actually ostracized themselves for you. They have distanced themselves for you. You've been talked about. You're the black sheep. All of that God understands. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. Men of valor is who God sees. Men of valor. God doesn't see a broke man. God doesn't see a white man. God doesn't see a black man. All God sees is his children. Now, with the gift that he has given you, he is looking for men of valor in this earth. As you can see the desecration and everything that's going on around us, young people leaving here left and right, blacks, whites, Latinos, everybody leaving here prematurely. You can't say that it's God's plan for all these young people to die and innocent people to just be shot in churches and everywhere just because of their color of their skin or because they serve you. We know what Revelation is saying, where men's hearts are going to wax cold, and we know that things are going to get worse before they get better. We understand that. But it doesn't give us an excuse to be passive. It doesn't give us an excuse to say, well, let somebody else handle it. It doesn't give us that excuse, my brother. It doesn't. And Matthew, when Satan came to Jesus, he came to him three times. He came to him when he was hungry. He came to him when he was thirsty. He came to him when he was weak, probably at his lowest. If you can imagine fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, if you can just imagine that in your own body, you had to know how weak Jesus was. But even in his weakness, he was strong with the word of God. That's your ammunition against the devil. That's your restoration to connect yourself back fully and wholly, not partially, not just calling God when you have a problem, not just calling God when you need him to get you out of a situation. No, God wants his man's full attention. Full attention. I hope I'm helping somebody out there tonight. He created you after he created the heavens and the earth. We are in the world, but not of it. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So if they couldn't see Jesus when he walked in, those that were of the way saw Jesus. But then there were those that tried to kill him. Uh-huh. Does that sound familiar? They don't see him. They didn't see Jesus. They don't see you. But nevertheless, that doesn't negate your power that's been given to you by your Father. God is just saying, I need you to pick up the tools that I have given you. I need you to pick up the weapons that I have given you. First of all, your weapon that you're using actually is speaking damnation over your own self when you use words loosely. When you say I'm broke, when you say I'm sick, and when you say I'm about to lose my mind, do you not know that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof? You're eating the fruit of your own tongue. The Bible also tells us to speak those things that be not as though they were. Speak the opposite. Speak the opposite, my brothers. Too many of us are using words that are damning our lives just innocently. Do you hear what I'm saying? The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel. My point is, my brothers and sisters, and I will reiterate it again, if they couldn't see God, they can't see you. Don't get caught up in feeling like no one knows who you are. Don't get caught up in feeling like, oh, I'm just over here and I'm doing the best I can and no one is seeing what I'm doing. I'm not making an impact on the multitudes in which I thought I would. I'm not making an impact like I wanted to in my home. I'm not making an impact on my job. I'm skilled. I'm talented. But nobody knows my name. God is saying, don't get stuck there. Don't get stuck there. Because after all, you are a part of the remnant. Don't get stuck there. You've been in training. You've been in basic training. When you graduate, God will put you on a battlefield. And when he puts you on the front line, he's going to have to know that when I put you on the front line, you will faint not. Too many of us are fainting at the news. Too many of us are fainting what we hear on the world. God said, get on your face and lay prostrate before me. I'll give you the answer. I'll give you the antidote. I'll tell you what weapon to use. I'll tell you where to go and where not to go. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for an increasing discerning spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. You said, your sheep know your voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Father, I thank you right now, in the name of Jesus, that the spirit of the living God is what they hear, and not the voice of the enemy. Because I stopped by today to, yes, to strip off some things, to strip off some old mindsets, to get some frivolous activity out the way. But the ultimate purpose today for this message was to build you up. Because God asked me to stop by today and tell you who you are and who you are not. I'm going to take a moment to read something, because I don't know if you are familiar with the Willie Lynch letter. There was a letter that was designed by a slave owner to tell them how and what would happen when you institutionalize them with a certain thinking. So if you'll forgive me if I just try to elevate you and bring some history to what was the preconditioning to the slave back in the day. It says, gentlemen, I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I am here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for controlling of slaves. I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. Now, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to stop right there, because this letter, as you heard, was written in 1712. Some people think it's real, and some people don't think it's real. But it's ironically, it's exactly what we're experiencing today. It says, my method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences amongst the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes on plantations, and statuses on plantations. Attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley or on the hill. Distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pit the old black male versus the young black male, and the young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slave versus the light-skinned slave, and the light-skinned slave versus the dark-skinned slave. You must use the female versus the male, and the male versus the female. Stop right there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Media, society have all put us against one another. You've gotten it to where a black man sometimes will want to just go out of his race because he's tired of dealing with a black woman. The same that's going on with the black woman. She just wants to go outside of her race because she's tired of dealing with the black man. That we've been set up against one another by the enemy. This was written in 1712, and we see it played out today, my brothers and sisters. So you might be saying, well, Minister Valerie, I do want to be a man of valor, but I just don't know how to get there. What do I do? So before I wrap up tonight, there are five characteristics of a man of valor that God wants to use, and I'm going to bring it up before we close tonight. Hallelujah. One of the first is to step up and lead. Initiate. Be a man of action. Assume that it is your job and your moment. Hate apathy and reject passivity. When David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army, the mighty man, and he said, be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. That's 2 Samuel 10:7-12. And in Ezekiel 22 and 30, it says, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. God is looking for men of valor. Speak out, my brothers. Silence in the midst of sin is sin. Be courageous. Fear God, not man. Speak the truth in love. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6, it says, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. My brother, too often you are flattered by the lips of flattery. And flattery is deadly. You see what Proverbs is saying. Be mindful of what spirit is speaking to you. Don't be led astray by a delightful sounding tone. Don't be led astray, because you must discern whose voice is it. Is it the voice of God, or is it the voice of enemy, or is it the voice of your flesh? You must discern who's speaking, my brothers. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth and judge righteously and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. My brothers, we need you. I don't care how educated. I don't care how much school we've had. I don't care how articulate and we have these and thous and those. We will always need you. We will always need the man. And anybody that says that we don't is a liar. And the truth is not in them. We need the man. It's not about, God is not into intelligence. Now, God is not as good as how many big words we can use. God is not into all of that. He's into, do you love your husband? Do you love your wife as Christ loved the church? Are you honoring your husband with the fruit of thy womb? Are you honoring your husband with your mouth and your talent, your gifts and talents? Is he safely trust in you? That's what God is looking for. Even in a relationship, these are things that should be practiced. Honor her, and she would give it to you back. And if she doesn't, you have the wrong one. It's as simple as that. If she doesn't give it to you, she doesn't want to, if it's not in her. I don't know why I'm there. Moving on, in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Lord God, for number three. And it says, stand strong. Don't give in when you are challenged, attacked, or criticized. Because guess what? Anytime you're going to stand up for righteousness, anytime you're going to stand up for something, you're going to always be attacked. You're going to always be criticized. Somebody's going to always have their mouth on you. Did they not have it on Jesus? Did they not have their mouths on Jesus? Did they not try to kill, destroy, and destroy him? And because it was his destiny, it was successful. But because it was his destiny, stand strong. Don't give in when you are challenged, attacked, or criticized. Now behold, I have made you today as a fortified city. This comes from Jeremiah 1, 18 through 19. Now behold, I have made you today as a fortified city and as a pillar of iron and as walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 1, 18 and 19. We know your shoulders get tired sometimes. You're carrying a lot. You're carrying a work responsibility. You're carrying a husband responsibility. You're carrying a father responsibility. You're carrying a son responsibility. You're carrying an employer responsibility. You're carrying a friend responsibility. Yes, we get it. But God is saying, I am with you. Stand strong. Come what may, stand strong. God needs you. And we as women need you. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up, O man of God. You are not the sum accumulation of your natural possessions. I cancel that off of your life. You are not the sum accumulation of your natural possessions. Who is your father? Done. That's where you need to stop. What's in your mouth? The word done. That's where you need to stop. It doesn't matter what you lost. God can redeem the time. He can restore everything that the canker worm has stolen from you. Time is something we can't get back. You must choose whom and what you invest in wisely. Time is something you can't get back. My brothers, you are not, and I need to go back to that. You are not, and I'm going to deal with that right there. I know this doesn't apply to everything on this, everyone on this line, but if it applies to you, I'm going to give you some history. If you don't understand what a buck was back in the day, a buck was a man that was strong. He was physically strong. He was muscular. And the plantation owners used him to go around and mate with the other female slaves to create offspring, to be able to work the land. But somewhere along the line, man got confused and thought, oh, that's just our natural genetics. Come on, Holy Ghost. You were not naturally designed. If our God, our creator from heaven and earth, designed everything that's wonderfully made from him, how did he design you to be a male prostitute? How did he design you to be like that? Well, you want to go around, leave those women that you bad. Now, listen. This is what they had to do in slavery times. They had to mate with them, get them impregnated, and go on to the next woman. That happened in slavery. That was the misuse of the God-given anatomy that God gave us to procreate within our own families. So now we have that going on today. We're impregnating women and leaving them. We're going from woman to woman to woman, saying that, oh, that's just a man. The devil is a liar. That's your ignorance speaking. Yeah, that's what I said it is. That was the misuse of natural affections that God gave you for your one wife, not your wife and Susie and Tammy and everybody else. So I had to deal with that right there. Too many men say, oh, that's how God made us. No. You were jacked up from slavery when he took the buck and began to impregnate every woman that he could to farm the land because they needed laborers. They put you in a cage and took you to different plantations. This is what's happening today. They put you in a cage and took you to different plantations to impregnate a woman to farm the land. Well, you are no longer a slave, my brother. Stop perpetuating it. Stop perpetuating it. God has made you better than that. You're a man of valor. You're a man of honor. God wants to restore you to your rightful place in the earth. When they look at you and they say, my God, who is this? Because they don't know what's on you. But it's the Almighty God and his spirit that's on you. That's what God wants to restore in you, my brothers. You are men of valor. You are men of valor. And that is my prayer for you tonight. I know there were some things that were said. I brought the education to give you a little history of what was done during slavery times. I brought a little anger to make some righteous anger for you to get you stirred up to want to make a change. But I also got you stirred up to realize, why have I been acting thus? I need to come to myself. I need to come to myself. Hallelujah. And the last one, stay humble. Be vigilant against pride. Get the log out of your eye. Don't think less of yourself, but think of yourself less. Stay humble. Be vigilant against pride. But God, if you didn't know this, pride is something is an abomination to God. Pride. God can't do anything with pride. That means that I'm trying to get you to go to a place. I'm trying to get you to move to a certain place, but you won't move because of your pride. I'm trying to get you to talk to this person and that person, but you won't talk to them because of your pride. Stay humble, because God can use humbleness. Psalms 141:5 says, "Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it, for still my prayer is against their wicked deeds. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders and all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:5. Father, I will take the last 5 minutes and pray for the men that's on this line. I have always put a burden. I have always felt that it's not always right for them to always be the one that's being rejected, and always them to being cast aside. They're promoting us, and that's fine. But in order for us to be in our rightful places as women, our men need to be in their rightful place, restored as men of honor and men of valor. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit tonight. Father, I just thank you, Father God, that your two-edged sword was in my mouth tonight, ushering in the presence of the Holy Ghost to come through and destroy and annihilate a slavery mentality. Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that you come through here like a bulldozer, and each and every person that's on this line, each and every person that downloads this message, oh God, your spirit will cut like a knife, and everything that's not like you is burnt up in their lives. Their mindset is renewed. Father God, all things have passed away. And God, their head is held high, and they're walking with authority. They're walking and they're talking with authority. They're the priests of their home, Father God, in the name of Jesus. They're walking unto you with excellence, oh God, on their jobs. They're taking care of their children, oh God. They're nourishing and protecting their wives in the name of Jesus. Father, I cancel the assignment of their life. And we stand here together, collectively, spiritually joined arm in arm, I cancel the assignment and get the marathon tonight. In the name of Jesus, we stand together and we put the blood of Jesus and the cross against Satan and the man, against Satan and the black man, against Satan and the Latino man, against Satan and the Asian man, and Satan and the white man. God, I thank you right now that the earth is groaning for the manifestations of the sons and the daughters of God. And God, we thank you right now that though there's havoc going in the land, God, in the name of Jesus, your people are ready and they are armed like sharpshooters in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, yes, they're walking around with guns, feeling powerful. But God, in the name of Jesus, through prayer, you can make a gun back up and misfire. In the name of Jesus, through prayer, Father God, in the name of Jesus, no bullet will ever come out. In the name of Jesus, we're not foolish, God, to stand in one front, and one of one. But God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now that we know we're shielded by you. In the name of Jesus. Esha, ikambaye shoa, ikatalabasaya, ikurabande she, ikandalabaha, jesi kumbabasha, jeandolobosha, jeki sandalaboso, makanda, jeki seki kalabaha. God, I thank you right now for the fire of the Holy Ghost upon every man that's in the sound of my voice. God, I thank you for restoration power in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for restoring everything that the enemy took from them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that every infirmity is canceled off of their life in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that they're anointed from the top of their head and the sole of their feet. I thank you right now, God. I thank you for wet men of valor, God. I thank you right now. I thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, for exaltation. I thank you, Father God, right now for bringing them back to their rightful place in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that when all is said and done, you will be so saved by good and faithful servant. Well done. You took care of your family. You took care of your home. I pray for every leader that's on this line. We know that the enemy is seeking to and fro whom he can devour. We cancel the assignment against your life in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. And you shall go forth. And you shall go forth empowered through the Lord thy God, who is thy Father. Go forth empowered, my brothers and sisters, because God has got your back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and we bless God.